Hello and welcome to another Thought for the Day from New Milton Evangelical Free Church. Let's pray as we come to God's Word. Gracious Lord, we pray that you make our hearts bold, that you open our mouths wide to speak your truth, that you help us to know that we trust you and all is never lost. Indeed, all is won because we are in Christ and he has won the victory. We thank you that every foe is defeated and one day will be laid out at his feet, and we are on his side and we are his. So bless us as you speak through your word to us today, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we're reading Joshua chapter 14 and we're reading verses 6 to the end of the chapter. Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal. And Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people sink. I, however, followed the Lord God, my God, wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said." Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. Then the land had rest from war. I wonder what you'll be like when you're 85, or maybe you're as old or even older than that now. So compared with what you were like when you were younger, how are you today? We're going to be looking at this man, Caleb. It's as if it's kind of like the spotlight comes down on him. So we've got this wide sweep scene of Joshua leading the Israelites in their possession of Canaan. And then all of a sudden in this chapter, it narrows and the emphasis is on this one man, Caleb. And I'm going to give him a nickname this morning. I'm going to call him God's Giant. For it was he, along with Joshua, who were the only two of the 12 spies to return from seeing how the land was when they first came to its borders, who returned an encouraging message. And they said to the people, "We're able to take this because the Lord is on our side and these people, their protection has gone." Only two out of the 12. The other 10 discouraged the people of Israel and said, "We're not able to do this. We're not strong enough. There are giants in the land and they will overcome us and the cities are large and fortified." And despite the protestations of Joshua and Caleb, the people went with the 10 and therefore incurred the wrath and the judgment of God. So what was to become of this man, Caleb? We know what happened to Joshua. He became the leader of the people. Now it's Caleb's turn to receive the attention of the story. Look how he is described. Look at the words that are used to actually describe him to us. Words like convictions in verse 7. So he came back from this land of plenty, the land of promise that God had provided for them, with an encouraging report. And he said, I returned my my verdict according to my convictions. So they all reported what they saw. They saw the land filled with goodness, flowing with, as the description goes, milk and honey. They brought back these clusters of grapes and these great big samples of fruit to show that the land was able to sustain them. But the 10, their report was actually tainted by their convictions. Caleb and Joshua only gave the report that because God was with them, Yahweh, the Lord, the God of the Israelites, they were able to go in and they were able to be victorious. His report was according to his convictions. And then secondly, in verse 8, we see the word wholehearted. That gets repeated throughout this little saga, doesn't it? This man served the Lord God wholeheartedly. There was not one ounce of hesitation in his devotion to following the commands of his God. He threw himself into living for this living God. He lived wholeheartedly. And then in verse 12 and 13, we see this verdict of what God has done for him. That even though this is 45 years later and he's now 85 years old, he's just like he was 45 years earlier. He is strong, he is vigorous, he's able to go out into battle and he's able to fight as a warrior for God. Well, God doesn't promise that we will be physically as strong and vigorous at 85 as we were when we were 40. But this is a state of heart that we can certainly seek after. So my question to you, however old you are, is what kind of old person you will be. Are you going to be like God's giant, Caleb? Are you going to be still full of the convictions you held way back then, when you first knew Christ and you decided that his was going to be your life and he was going to be your Lord? Do you hold today as firmly those beliefs in his truth that so overtook you and grasped and gripped you then? Because they're just as true today as they were then. Are you wholehearted, and will you be when you reach that age? There's a poem that my wife used to love, maybe still does, called When I'm Old, I'm Going to Wear Purple. And it's about a lady who's saying, well, when I'm older and I'm an old lady, I can get away with things that perhaps I wouldn't think that I could get away with as a young lady. And she was going to indulge herself and do all of those things. Well, when you're a Christian, indulge yourself in this. Be wholehearted about your service of God, and he will keep you in your heart, if not in your body, strong and vigorous, his to the end, holding you firm and steady, so that despite your failing body, the weakness of your flesh, you will still be able to say, I know my Redeemer lives, I know my Lord is risen, and I will trust him even to the end. So will you be God's giant? Look at what this man got. His inheritance was the land of the giants. We've already heard about the Anakites, these very tall, fierce warriors who lived in the northern cities of the promised land of Canaan. And they were terrifying everybody who came up against them. But Joshua comes and he overtakes them. Now, we don't know whether this episode happens a little later. Obviously, it's some years after they actually started to come into the land, whether perhaps some of the Anakites came back and repossessed the area where Joshua had driven them out of, and Caleb had to fight that battle again. We'll go on and look at that. Or whether this is kind of like a narrowing down of the narrative. So it's kind of like a focus of what happened when this area was taken. But look what Caleb did. He overthrew the giants. Why? Because he was God's giant. And my friend, my brother and sister in Christ, this morning, determine in your life, in your heart, you're going to be God's giant, even at 85. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for that marvelous hymn that tells us, Fierce may be the conflict, strong may be the foe, but the king's own army none can overthrow. Round his standard ranging, victory is secure, for his truth unchanging makes the triumph sure. Joyfully enlisting, by thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side. Saviour, we are thine. Amen.